It's exciting to be here, and I want to talk a little bit this morning about Here Comes the Calvary, okay? And I'm driving around in the middle of the night last night, and you know how your mind, but I God laid something on, you know, he said, you know, what you're preaching on tomorrow, think about, you know, what you're doing right now. People are out of power, people have problems, and they're waiting for somebody to come help them, right? They're waiting for somebody to come to the rescue. You know, it's, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're putting a ladder up against somebody's house, and they're all of a sudden you hear a voice from the window. I mean, they're waiting for somebody to turn their power on. You know, they want, and we go through life, and we go through circumstances, and we go through situations, and we just need, sometimes we just need rescued. Some of us do, I guess. Our text this morning is Psalm chapter 86, verses 1 through 4. So if you have your Bible, just get them out, hold them up. This is God's word for me today. Psalm chapter 86, a psalm of David. We've talked about David a lot, and we've talked about the many different aspects of David's life. What we find David doing so often is writing songs. And this morning, this is just another song of David. It's a prayer song. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. This is David. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord. For I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. Lord, this morning we just simply ask that you would show up in this moment, in this time, and help us, Lord, to see you coming to our rescue. No matter what we face today, Lord, may we trust in you, and may you bring us joy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If, as we look at this morning, David says, bring joy to your servant, Lord. He's asking for something that he's probably lacking a little bit of, don't you think? You see, as a kid growing up, I lived in a house where my mom and dad, till they died, if you went to their house, pretty much what you were going to find is a Western, okay? A Western of some kind. And a lot of those Westerns, the hero would be in some kind of trouble. And all of a sudden, somebody would, right at the very end, right when it looked like it was over, oh no, he's gone, somebody would ride into the rescue. You know, in a lot of the old movies, the cavalry would ride in. Hence, you know, here comes the cavalry. But in so many situations, you know, right at the last moment, in comes just what they needed. In comes that person that's going to rescue them. And I see so much in life, as we go through life, there are just so many times when we just need somebody to ride in to our rescue. Our kids, they go through hard times. Or whether they're little, you know, Kelsey posted a little thing about teaching Abe to ride his bike, and he's screaming, don't let go, don't let go. I need you, Mom. I need you to hold that bike. How many have taught a kid to ride the bike? How many have heard those same screams? Don't let go, don't let go. I won't, honey. I won't. I won't. Well, you know, come on, parents. What's wrong with you? But if you don't, they never learn. But where are you at? You're always there. When they fall, they skin their knee, you come to the rescue, don't you? It'll be all right. Get back up on the bike and let's do it again. But you're rescuing them because you're teaching them, you know. And we go through life, and there are so many times, and we need somebody to come rescue us. And this morning I want us to understand that that God that Pastor Jared talked about, that God that we sung to, that God that we recognize in all of His glory is longing to be our rescuer. Many times we look in the wrong places. Many times we go the wrong directions looking for that rescue and it's not there. And all along, God is just waiting patiently for us to turn to Him. As He says, I want to rescue you, but you won't let me. Another thing that happens as kids grow up, they become teenagers. Lord help us, right? And they no longer think they need mom and dad. They no longer think they need advice. Well, they still need money. But I mean, they don't need advice. They don't need you telling them what the best thing to do is. And they go through that period when they know it all and they are self-sufficient. And then something happens. And they go through another period when they're like calling and like, oh, I need some help. Can you take these kids off my hands for a couple days? Can you? I just need. And you know what? As parents, it feels good to be needed, doesn't it? It feels good to know that we can still be of value. But many times we go through those phases with God and we get to that point where we say, oh, I don't need God. I can do it on my own. I'm a teenager, you know. I'm smarter than God is today. God might be saying I should do this, but what does He know? What does God know, you know? And as we go through life, many times it just seems like life is full of trouble. It seems that things just go awry. If you were anywhere in this area on Thursday about 7 o'clock, you can see what about 20 minutes of wind can do. You can see what happens in just a short amount of time when trouble hits, it lingers and lasts, and that happens to us in our lives sometimes. A storm will come and it seems like it stirs things up for a long time. And we need to realize that when we begin to face those troubles, that we need to turn to the right people thing for answers, and that is God. And many times we start looking in other places. We try to get it done cheap and fast. As I can relate a little bit, you know, to some of the things I see out there. People, their stuff comes down and they just want to stick it up and they want to do it cheap and fast. And that's not always the best way, is it? But can I tell you, sometimes it's not easy to cry out to God. It's not easy to admit to maybe somebody that you need them to pray with you and you need them to hold you accountable and you need them to be that person that does the tough things for you as a fellow believer. It's not always easy. You know, we would think it's just so easy to turn to God, right? It's so easy just to admit to God that I need you, God, but for some reason there's something inside of these stubborn old humans that just thinks we don't need God so much sometimes. I say many times people, they run from what they need the most. God's right here. I'm not talking about like He's only right here in the church. But God's right in front of us. And God's got His arms out. And for some reason, it's some stubborn thing. I don't know what it is. I get it too. But sometimes instead of running into His arms, we start looking and say, well, is there any other takers? You know, is there anybody else that I can go to? We're going to face trouble. Job says it this way. Job chapter 5, verse 7, he says, yet man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. He says again in chapter 14, man born of woman. That's not the reason. I might as well go home now. I lost them. Lost the women anyway. I'm just tired. Who put that scripture in? Man, born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We go through life and we have things that happen. Troubles remind us that we are constantly in a spiritual battle in this life. We are constantly facing things that happen. And God allows things to happen in this life. God allows troubles. God allows things. I believe God. It's not God's plan for people to get sick and die. It's not God's plan for tragedies to happen. I can't explain it all. All I do is I see God as a God who allows things in life. And when those things happen, He's longing for people to turn to Him and trust to Him and let Him come to the rescue. We start off and we see in this psalm that David says, "Hear my prayer. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I'm poor and needy." Lord, hear my prayer. Many times we pray and we ask God, but we don't recognize or we don't want the answer that He brings our way. We aren't totally submitted to the, "I'll do whatever you say." You know, we get in the, "I'll do whatever it is." Oh, really? That's it, huh? That's the best thing you got, God? You know? But we need to realize that when God speaks, when God begins to lay things out for us, we need to respond to Him and we need to allow Him to do just exactly what He wants. You see, because I firmly believe that many times God says yes. You know, when your kids come up and ask for something, the answer they're wanting is yes. No matter what they want, they think it's what they need, right? They need that Mountain Dew and candy bar right now. I need it. Have you ever heard? It's funny to listen to kids. I'm glad I wasn't like that when I was a kid, but I need it. I really need it. Really? You really need it. And what they want is for us to just say yes. But if you said yes every time your kid asked for a Mountain Dew and a candy bar, what a mess they would be. What a mess you would be too. So what a child wants and what's best for the child is not the same thing, correct? And the same is true with us and God. We come to Him and we want Him to say yes. "Oh, God, here's what I want." Oh, and He says, "Yes, all right." But sometimes He does say yes. When you and Him are on the same page, there's a scripture that my wife loves to quote. It's, "God gives us the desires of our heart." One of the things that's built into that is we desire what God wants. And so it's easy for Him to give us those desires because our desires have been in line with His desires. We've been in prayer. We've been seeking Him. And so instead of desiring the things of the world, we desire the things of God. And so when we desire the things of God, He says yes. But sometimes God in His infinite wisdom and God in His knowledge of us and His knowledge of the circumstances, when we ask, God says no. Like any good parent does sometimes. When your child asks for something that you know is not in their best interest, that you know down the road is not going to be what they need, you say no, not because you don't love them, but because you love them enough. You love them more. You see, I see many parents today that don't love their kids enough to say no. They don't love their kids enough to do the right thing. They don't love their kids enough to be a godly influence in their life. And so as we think about that, we realize that sometimes God, because of His infinite love and because He only wants what's best for us, He says no. And anytime you hear no, doesn't it make you like, "Oh, I never get my way. I never," yeah, don't you love that? "I never get what I want." And just as a parent, just as you as a parent, when you hear that from your child, you look at that and you think, "Really, you never get what you want?" You remember Christmas. You remember your birthday. I'm telling you, the birthday party, Eric's birthday party the other night, all that stuff he wanted, he got. He got it. And yet, you take him to the store the day after, and he sees something and he wants it, and you say, no, you can't have, I never get what I want. Megan, am I telling the truth? But you guys were all kids just like that at one time, so come on, get off your high horse, right? I've been there. I can remember times when I wanted something so bad, you know, I never get anything I want. And yet, do we not do that with God many times? God says no, and we immediately jump to, well, why can't I ever have what I want, God? You know, brother so-and-so over here, he got what he wanted. Sister so-and-so over here, she got what she wanted. But God always knows what's best for us, and he always loves us enough that when he should say no, he says no. Now, sometimes in our humanity and in our flesh, we push through that no and we do what we want to anyway. It's never good. It's never positive, and it will always land you someplace you don't want to be. But God, in his loving kindness, says no. Sometimes God says, I'm going to let you trust me for this for a while. I'm going to let you rely on me for a while before I say yes. I'm going to see just how much you're willing to press in before I say yes. It might be what's best for you, but I want to, God will allow our faith to be stretched and tested because he wants to see just how much we care about him. He wants to see just how much we're willing to serve him even if he hasn't said yes yet. And then sometimes God just probably sits up there and thinks, are you kidding me? Really? You want that? Come on. Come on, man. God wants what's best for us. As parents, we can all relate to that. We can all relate to wanting what's best for those that we care about. But I do want you to understand that no matter what the answer is, God hears. God listens to his people. That massive expanse of universe that God created, and then he put you and I here in that. No matter how big the world is, and no matter how small we might seem in comparison, he listens to every prayer. Every time we cry out to him, he listens. We don't understand all that, I know that, but let me just tell you, God is listening to us. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. You see, some people just don't believe they deserve God to do anything for them. And I would tell you, hey, you're probably right. I don't deserve it either. Nobody really deserves the goodness of God. But God doesn't base it on whether or not we deserve it. He bases him on what's best for us and whether or not we're following after him. God is a God who is intently there with us in every moment of life. If I went up to my wife and said, honey, I've got this expensive, and I don't have, just so you know, but I've got this expensive piece of jewelry I want to give you. How would I feel if she says, no thanks, I don't care for it? Wouldn't that be a little hurtful? Ain't gonna happen. Maybe I should go, somebody come up with some cash, I'll go buy her something. But think about God for a moment. God is constantly laying things in front of us. And many times we simply refuse what God has for us. We refuse that blessing God wants to give us. And we don't do it outwardly, and we don't even recognize we do it. But many times as God is trying to lead us in a direction, sometimes God's blessings come in the form of work. He says here, you say, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. You say, oh, okay, yeah, I'll give you a job. No, God, just give me. I'm giving it to you here. I've always believed in giving a hand up and not a hand out. Helping, and God is the same way. He wants to give us a hand up. He wants to come to our rescue. He wants to help us, but many times it comes in a different form than we're looking for, and so we reject it. Give me $20. Well, why don't you come mow my grass? Well, no, I just want the $20. And unfortunately, we do that with God many times. We just want the goodie, and we don't want to have any responsibility. And so we reject what God is giving us. How do you think it makes God feel? He gave us the greatest gift of all, and many times we reject it. He goes on to say, guard my life, for I'm devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. The other day, and it's kind of funny that this happened, we all have those days, call them bad hair days. And I don't know the exact story, how it exactly went, but Lisa the other day, she got up and she got in the car. She didn't put on her makeup. She didn't do all that. And Zach said something like, Grandma, your hair's a mess, or something to that effect. And she just kind of laughed it off because she knew she hadn't spent a lot of time, you know, getting her hair and everything done that day. Some days we just have those days, don't we? Bad hair days. We have those days when or a no hair day or whatever. We get stressed out once in a while, don't we? Does anybody never get stressed out? I mean, some of us are a little more low key than others. I understand, Josh, but poor Beth. Anyway. I always realize I put more stress on my wife because I don't get stressed real easy, so she feels like she has to get double stressed sometimes. But but who brings the most stress into our lives usually? The people around us. Usually it's the wives, but, you know, no. It's the people around us, whether it be our spouse or our children or our coworkers or the people we're driving down the road beside. You know, all those things cause stress in our life, and we just need God to give us that protection. We need God to guard us and to help us. But to really get God's help, we need to be, like David, what's David say here? Guard my life, not because I deserve it, not because I'm special, because I'm devoted to you. You see, I believe this is where many people miss the connection. They I just need God's help, you know, pray for me. Okay, but they have no intention of actually following God and being devoted to Him. They just want God to come to the rescue, and then they can just go about their life the way they have before. Now, don't think I'm being too critical. I'm just being honest. Many people, they want to act like God should just do everything like a genie in a bottle for them, but they don't want to pray. They don't want to read their Bible. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to give in the offering. They don't want to set up for kids' adventure. They don't want to work in the nursery. They don't want to, you know, pick up a Kleenex off the floor. They don't want to help their neighbor. They don't want to give a cup of cold water. They don't want to do anything except walk around like this. You know, kind of like the mad dash for cash. The kids, they just walk around, hope, you know, they want us to throw it, and that's great. But many times as humans, we walk around, and there are many walk around life. They just simply want everything God will give them without giving Him anything in return. God wants what's in here. If we will devote ourselves to Him, if we will give Him our lives, we will begin to see God work in our lives. That doesn't mean he's going to give us everything we want still. But what it means is God is going to begin a cooperative effort with us and help us and lead us down the path that he wants us to go. One of these days, God is going to come back. Jesus Christ is going to split those eastern skies. You ever look up and you look at the clouds and you think, maybe today. Lisa, we were, I think, on the beach and on our vacation, which seems like so long ago now, but we looked up and she said, you know, that just looks like a cloud Jesus could split right there. It just looks like he could come back right out of that cloud. And we got to realize that that's a true thing. He could come back any moment. He could split that sky and he could come back in any moment. And he's coming back for those who are waiting and longing for him, who are looking for him, who have given their lives to him, who are living for him faithfully. And so as we live our life, we can ask God to guard my life. That doesn't mean nothing will ever happen, but it means throughout all of our lives, he will be with us in those moments. He will come to our rescue. He will ride in like the cavalry. He will ride in with guns blazing like the Lone Ranger. He will come to our rescue. He's ready and longing to come to our rescue. Then David goes on and says, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. How many times have we needed it? He says, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. David realized he needed God's mercy in his life. He needed God to be there in every moment, in every circumstance of his life. I think I talked a little bit last week. Many times we recognize we need God in the bad times, but how often do we recognize we need him when things are going well? Many times we see people that come into the church when they have struggles and they have problems and the community of believers gathers around them and the community of the believers loves them and helps them through their moment of trial. And then it seems like all of a sudden after their moment of trial, they don't need God any longer. And they're gone again until maybe the next trouble comes up. David recognized he constantly needed God's mercy. And he recognized that as he called out to God, realizing he needed God's forgiveness as well. You see, as we go through this life and we recognize that God created us with a place, a hole in our life that only he could fill, we go through this life and many times we fail God, don't we? Many times we allow the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Many times we allow the temptation and instead of fighting it off, instead of taking a stand against it, we embrace it. And we recognize that we just need to cry out to him, I need your mercy, I need your forgiveness, I need your grace, I need your help, I need you to come rescue me. I need you to lead me and to guide me in all things. It doesn't matter how you justify it, sin is still sin. Doesn't matter how we try to explain it away and how do we try to blame it on our upbringing or blame it on somebody else or blame it on our friends or blame it on whatever. We can try all that. And we can blame it on whoever we want, but when it comes down to it, sin is sin, and when you got sin, you need to get forgiveness. You can't get forgiveness from anywhere else but calling on the name of the Lord. You can't get your sin washed away by any other means than to just soak it in the blood of Jesus. That's the only way. Romans 3:23 puts you and me and every person that's ever lived in one category. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every human that's ever lived has stood in that spot, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How do we respond to that? We confess that sin to Jesus Christ. We ask Him to cleanse us. We ask Him to wash us. We ask Him to make us white as snow. I've seen a lot of people who have been under conviction, whether it be in a service or any or talking with them, and when you come under conviction, you have a choice to make. Either you submit or you turn and walk away. Either you recognize your need and you give in to that, or you leave the same way you came. Whether it be, like I say, a church service or a conversation, or how many testimonies have you heard of people just simply picking up a Bible in a hotel room and the conviction of the Holy Spirit falls on them and they have a choice to make? And many of those stories you hear, people say, I picked it up in a moment of desperation, and as I picked that up, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, and right then and right there, I gave my life to Christ. It wasn't some grand event in the scheme of life, but it was a grand event in the scheme of their life. So that conviction of the Holy Spirit is so important. There's an account that Jesus tells as he looks on, and there was a tax collector and a rich man, and they were in the house of God. And the tax collector, I'm just paraphrasing, the tax collector is over in one corner, and he recognizes his sinfulness. He recognizes his depravity. He recognizes how rotten of a scoundrel he was, and he's beating his chest, and he's crying out, and he can't even look up because he's so ashamed. But what is he doing? He's crying out for grace, and he's crying out for mercy. He's crying out for forgiveness. And then over here is the rich guy in all of his glory and all of his apparel. And what he's standing here, and looking over at that guy over there in a repentant state, and he says, "Man, am I glad I'm not like him. I'm dignified, and I don't have to do that. I'm better than him." Who do you think got God's attention there? Who do you think obtained the grace and the mercy that God brings? It's the one who recognizes he needed God. And the loving God who created us all was willing and able and runs to the rescue of that repentant person. He's willing and able to run to your rescue today. And finally, as we close, the psalmist says in verse 4, "Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." There's no greater way to receive joy than to submit your life completely to Jesus Christ. The most joyous of people don't necessarily have the best of everything. They just make the most of everything they have. It's not about how much you have. It's about how you let God rule what you do have. So this morning, if you're here, well, if you're here, you're here, right? This morning, as you think about it, what is it that you need from God? Do you need forgiveness today? He's here to give it. Do you need God to just come in and do something in your marriage? He's here. Do you need God to come in and do something in your home? He's here. Do you need God to come in and just bring peace into your life? He's here. Do you need to be filled with the joy of the Lord? He's here. So as we close in these next few moments, I just want you to get alone with God and just let Him do for you what you need. Just bow your heads and close your eyes for me with us this morning. Lord, in these final moments, as Your Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts about what was brought out today, Lord, whatever we need, we recognize that You are the answer. No matter how bad the bad guy is, and how we feel like we're surrounded, and how we feel like we're outnumbered and outgunned this morning, You are enough. We don't need 100. We don't need 1,000. We just need You. And so no matter how overwhelmed we might feel with the circumstance, may we submit to you today. May we let you come to our rescue. May we let you and the cross of Calvary bring us what we need. The Calvary that we need this morning is that old rugged cross. The Calvary that we need to ride in today is the cross of Calvary and the blood that was shed and the life that was given so that we could have life. And so no matter where we're at this morning, Lord, as your Holy Spirit speaks to us, may we just recognize that you have done it all. You have paid the price. Calvary was enough for our circumstance. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I don't know where you're all at. I don't know all your circumstance. But if you came in here this morning and you just had that sense you just needed rescued. You just needed rescued. And the Lord spoke to you today. Your head bowed and your eyes closed. If you just raise a hand, I want to pray with you this morning. I want to pray that God would truly do for you what you have come for today because you truly came to receive from Him. You'd be here this morning and would say, Pastor, that's me. Please pray for me this week that I would not only receive it today, but that I would walk in it this week. And also, I would ask you this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you haven't asked Him to forgive you of your sins or cleanse your heart and life from sin, but today you want to make that decision and you want to say, today's my day. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you this morning as well. Would there be one this morning that would say, yes, Pastor, that's me. Lord, this morning, as we recognize, and I just pray that each one of us here today, including myself, will recognize how much we desperately need you to come to the rescue. I just ask God that as we go through this week, that you would constantly remind us of your presence, of your power, and Lord, that you are truly here with us in each moment of life, in each trial that we face, in each circumstance, in each request that we make, Lord, that you are here with us, that Calvary is with us, and it is enough for what we need today. And Lord, we thank you for that this morning, and we just ask God that you would go with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.